This is Ozarks at Large. With me on the phone from his home is Randy Dixon, who is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Oral and Visual Arkansas History. Randy, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing well.
Well, good. Good. I'm really enjoying this this new segment we're doing. I look forward to it every week.
Excellent. Well, so do I. And I know that there are listeners who have told me they look forward to it, too. We should explain that each Monday we're going into archives that the Pryor Center has is in the process of digitizing. These originally were KATV news files, right?
Yes, the ABC station in Little Rock, they donated the archives to the Pryor Center, and the Tyson Family Foods Foundation and Barbara Tyson have funded us to digitize them, and we're putting them online. So you can look at them at just Google Pryor Center, P-R-Y-O-R Center, and you can look at all kinds of stuff. From right now, we have the 50s, 60s, and 70s footage. And you can just search anything you want to, and you can watch this footage from the collection.
Last week, we spent some time with a charismatic governor from Arkansas's past, Bill Clinton. Arkansas's had a few charismatic governors. We're going to spend some time with another one this week.
Quite colorful, yes. Yeah, this is Orville Faubus. So I've dug into the archives and found some interviews and items from his past.
I think last week I mentioned that I felt Bill Clinton was probably the most famous Arkansan. He, after all, was president of the United States for 8 years. Orville Faubus probably could be called one of, if not the most infamous figures in Arkansas history.
Well, he was the most famous or infamous before Bill Clinton. I think I even said in an interview one time that we were only on the map because of Central High before Bill Clinton, and it was Orville Faubus that put us on the map because of Central High. He was our 36th governor and served from 1955 to 1967, and was known for the 1957 Central High crisis.
Well, that's where we start, isn't it?
Yeah, he called out the National Guard, Arkansas National Guard, to, as he called it, to keep the peace and to prevent the Little Rock Nine, as they were known, from attending school.
They will not act as segregationists or integrationists, but as soldiers called to active duty to carry out their assigned task.
Arkansas Governor Orville Faubus, our profile this week on as we go into the archives from the Pryor Center. So, yeah, we know that he called out the Arkansas National Guard, but President Eisenhower countered.
Countered by sending troops from the 101st Airborne Division to sort of return order and to escort. I mean, they had their bayonets out. They were armed, and they escorted the students into school.
An extreme situation has been created in Little Rock. This challenge must be met, and with such measures as will preserve to the people as a whole their lawfully protected rights. If resistance to the federal court order ceases at once, the further presence of federal troops will be unnecessary and a blot upon the fair name and high honor of our nation in the world will be removed.
Mob rule cannot be allowed to override the decisions of our courts.
And how did Governor Faubus react to that?
Well, he was pretty defiant, and he had a live broadcast, I believe, the night after it happened.
My fellow citizens, we are now an occupied territory.
in the name of God, whom we all revere. In the name of liberty we hold so dear. In the name of decency, which we all cherish. What is happening in America?
So this is all unfolding on a national stage on television. This was not the end of Orville Faubus's political career in Arkansas at all, was it?
Well, it actually kind of catapulted mm-hmm. him. He became a national, a worldwide figure, actually. And, you know, a lot of people criticized the whole thing as a strictly political move. But for him, it worked. He was reelected as governor four more times. And then finally, he decided not to run again in 1966, which kind of opened the door for a Republican, Winthrop Rockefeller, who had, there had been no Republican governor in Arkansas since Reconstruction. But he stepped down. Rockefeller came in, and the day he left office, and this is kind of a monumental interview, Jim Pitcock, who was news director and reporter at the time, all the reporters were running up the steps of the Capitol to interview Rockefeller before he was inaugurated. But quietly, Faubus was walking down the steps alone, leaving the Capitol for the last time, and Jim Pitcock stepped up and talked to him.
Some sadness, but without any second thoughts about my decision. I leave with relief that I can lay down the burdens which I've had to bear for 12 years, all the many problems, all the many things that needed to be done, and we've accomplished some of them, but you're never in government able to satisfy everyone or do all the things that should be done.
He kind of slipped away, you know, just quietly went away. But then something really kind of bizarre happened. This is in 1968, there was this place called Dog Patch USA, you know, which was the amusement park near Harrison, Arkansas. And a developer named Jess Odom, who was later known to have been the man who developed Maumelle, Arkansas, which was a little more, worked a little better than Dog Patch. But he named Faubus as the general manager of the amusement park.
Governor Faubus and I worked out an agreement whereby he will come with Dog Patch, and he will head up our organization up there as president of Dog Patch USA. I personally think that this is going to be a great boost to our operations at Dog Patch, and as I have reported to the news media before, this is going to be a recreation that certainly is going to add a great deal to the state of Arkansas as far as recreation and an industry. Possibly the top industry as far as drawing money outside the state into the state of Arkansas.
Orville Faubus, general manager of Dog Patch USA. Did you ever make it to Dog Patch, by the way?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I grew up, a little bit more than an hour from it. And I would say from second grade through sixth grade, our spring field trip every year was to Dog Patch.
Oh, gosh. It was huge.
And
we loved it.
I don't know if you'll remember this, and this is getting away from Orville Faubus for a minute, but they had trash cans that would kind of like suck the trash out of your hand. They had a little vacuum. That would take it.
Oh, I kind of remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
But one thing about Faubus is that he was huge on, and I talked to Jim Pitcock about this at length, this week about how he promoted the state and how much he cared about the state. And he was big on state tourism. And he was at this news conference with Jess Odom. Mm. And he talked about his commitment to the state and tourism.
I have a great faith in the development of tourism as an industry for Arkansas, which can help all of the people of the state, help the economy, and help to solve some of the financial problems of state government. You know, there's an old saying that you can't get blood out of a turnip. Well, we know that we can't get enough revenue to provide all the services in state government and in other fields that we need or would like to have until we have an economy that will produce it. And I think one of the greatest potentials for growth of the economy is in the tourist industry.
This is where it gets a little bizarre. He moved back to Huntsville.
Right.
And he made the mention that, you know, he was not making enough money from his, you know, state
pension.
What would you call it? It is state pension. And he even worked as a bank teller in Huntsville, but somehow he was able to build a mansion that was designed by Faye Jones.
What?
And he sort of describes in this interview from 1972 what it's like to live where he's living.
Yes, this is very fine. This place grows on you. The area, of course, is, I think, could hardly be excelled anywhere, any time or place as a site for a house. It's a beautiful place to live. You see, the trees are up below the cliff here. Treetops are up in our faces. We have all kinds of birds, a jaybird's nest and a cedar out there, turtle dove nest by the road where you came in. And the wren, they raise a small group in a little house here at the end of the house. Several pairs of quails with young ones are out in the meadow. It's all very nice, very fine. This is what I like. I grew up with this kind of surroundings.
So, yeah, it's some kind of home, and it was not inexpensive.
Oh, no. It was always described in the news as a mansion.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently in 1972, he paid $250,000, which I sort of did the math, and it's worth, would have been worth $1.5 million today. So I guess that's not too shabby for a bank teller.
No.
Right?
No, I mean, it's just, you're right. It is unusual to think about him being a bank teller. Can you imagine going to Searcy right now and walking into a bank and seeing Mike Beebe there to take your deposit
slip?
Throwing
out ones to you, counting out ones, yeah.
No. All right, you mentioned you talked to Jim Pitcock about him recently?
Oh, gosh, for hours.
Mm.
And Jim, who was news director, who actually developed this archive, he was a reporter, and he covered him through his entire career. And you know, he said he did, you know, as controversial as he was, he did a lot for the state. I mean, he was big on improving the county roads and highways for the state. And I asked him, I said, why was he so big? Why, you know, and he said, you know, he grew up in rural Arkansas. He was, you know, in Combs, Arkansas, is where he was born and raised. And he said he never forgot where he came from.
Hmm.
And one of his quotes, and Jim pointed this out, and he said this after he spoke to President Eisenhower about the fact that, you know, he would let the students in, which he didn't do. He said, just because I said it doesn't make it so. And that's a quote that came back to him for years and years.
This has been fascinating, and they always are. If you find yourself with some time, I would also love to know if KATV has anything in the archives about Marble Falls, which was adjacent to Dog Patch, and was for a year, maybe two, attempted to be a snow ski resort in the Arkansas Ozarks.
Oh, the ski lodge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, we have some.
Okay.
Yes. As a matter of fact, it's actually, there's some footage on the website.
Oh.
If you go to the Pryor Center, go to the KATV section and just search Marble Falls. Yeah, you'll see a commercial, I believe it is, for people skiing in the fake snow.
And now, I don't know if this is true. This might be apocryphal that over 45 or 50 years, I've accepted this as fact when it wasn't. But it seems like opening day for the fake snow ski lodge was snowed out. I hope that's true. I hope that's not just a legend.
Oh, I'll have to look into that.
Right. Hey, this has been fun. It always is. We'll be back next week. You and I don't know what you'll have for us yet, but I can't wait. Folks can search.
Well, I'm working on it.
Oh, you are? Do you want to keep it a secret?
Well, no, I'm just not sure yet.
Oh, okay.
I'm just working on it.
I gotcha. I see. Folks can Google Pryor Center, and that will take you to the Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History, and you can search that website for Favas and so many other things. Randy, this is always so much fun.
Hey, love it. I'll see you next week.
You bet. Thank you, Randy Dixon.